This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Well, good morning to all. It's lovely to be with you. Apparently it was 3 years ago when I was last here, before COVID. There's an awful lot happened since then. But it's great to be with you. My wife, for those of you who don't know me, my wife and I planted the York Vineyard, something like 2008, however long that was, 14 years ago, yes, yeah. So, you know, the church sends their love to you here in Leeds this morning, and it's just great to be with you. As I say, I'm married to Nikki. We have four children who have all fled the nest. And now we've got another group coming up. We've got five grandchildren, and which are, you know, just a delight and a blessing. But it's just a real joy to be with you. And I was just thinking as I was driving over here, it's lovely to have sort of Vineyard family nearby. We've got Hull on the other side of us. We've got Harrogate half an hour away from us, and you guys half an hour away. And it's nice to be surrounded by the Vineyard family. So this morning, as Sarah said, I'm going to speak. I've entitled this talk, Can I Be Sure of Heaven? And I'd like us to just look at a few verses from the first chapter of Peter's letter. And I'll read those to you from verses 3-7. We read this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So Peter's writing this letter to Christians who are going through tough times. They are really having a hard time. James's letter, James writes to Christians equally who've been dispersed through persecution and so on and so forth. And they are facing all kinds of difficult circumstances, life-threatening. And you know, isn't that the truth of the world in which we live in? All kinds of tragedies are occurring, whether it be on an international scene or whether it's personally. We can soon start to feel that we live in a very uncertain environment, which is overflowing with evil at times. It can seemingly seem everything is out of control. The world is a dangerous place to live in. Wars and pandemics ensue. And we really, over the last 2 or 3 years, have felt the impact of that. It's been close to home with the pandemic that we've gone through, and indeed the war in the Ukraine, which we are really undergoing the effects of that. And it's in these times that things can seem very uncertain. There's a litany of bombings and killings, and day in, day out, we hear of all these atrocities on the news, natural disasters. Or maybe on a more personal front, maybe a divorce hits a family or a family we know, and it just shatters that home. And it's in these times that we can start to question our faith. We can start to ask the question, well, can I be sure? Can I be sure of all these things that I have been taught and led to believe? Can I be sure that there is a future Can I be sure of heaven? Is it something I can be really, really certain of? Everything's shaking. Everything seems uncertain. And so, in these times when we can be perplexed at what's happening to us because there doesn't seem to be any rational reason as to what's coming, we can feel a distance from God. We can feel perplexed. And this happens. We go through seasons in life when this happens. Paul himself talked about being perplexed when he lists all those things that happened to him when he was shipwrecked, when he was beaten up for his faith, so on and so forth. And yet Peter gives three things to these people facing tough times. Three things to hold on to. He says, firstly, that you have a new birth. Secondly, you have a living hope. And thirdly, that you have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. So he's bringing an assurance to people who are going through the hard times in order to take their eyes off the suffering and the pain that they're going through and to look ahead. To look ahead with certainty, holding fast to the promises of God that I can rely wholeheartedly upon Him and His promises. This won't last. This pain, this suffering, whatever I'm facing, it won't last. And we can take great joy from these things. And, you know, I just wondered whether or not I mentioned this earlier. If we actually focused and thought more about what's to come, about what God has prepared for us. I just wonder if we delved into that a little bit more and meditated on it, would we not live our lives or live out our Christian faith maybe in a different way? Because we've been given certain insights. You may say to me, well, we know so little about what's to come. Well, let's just dig into these few things. Firstly, a new birth. Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why do we want to praise God? Because He's given us something. He's given us this new birth. And we have much to praise Him for. You know, in the vineyard, we love to sing songs to God. Not just about Him, but we love to sing songs to God. Because we love to come into that place of intimacy and know His presence. Know His presence with us. Know that He is with us even in the times when it feels like something so different. He is with us. I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. I'm tempted to tell you a story that happened to me once, but I may have told it. I don't know whether I've told you before, but I'll tell you again. I used to play a lot of rugby. Have I told you this before? And, you know, I played rugby at school and university, and I remember a particular game. It always stands out in my mind because we were playing a particular team that was very good. It was Durham University we were playing. And there were two individuals in this team that they were the largest individuals I've ever seen in my life. They were just up there and out here. And it came to a certain point in the game when I'd got the ball, and I saw a gap, and I thought, try on here. And I made for the gap. And out of the corner of my eye, I didn't see one, but I saw two of them. Two of the largest people on the field making their way hastily toward me. And I heard the shout from my teammate, with you. And so I passed the ball out to him. It's a beautiful pass. And he was pulverized instead of me. But so often in life, the truth is this. It's what's known in the game as a hospital pass. So often in life, do you not hear that? I'm with you. When you're facing difficulty, hardship, when you may be going through suffering, when we come before God and we draw near to Him in the stillness, as we praise Him and draw near, I'm with you. I'm with you. Over and over again, I've heard that. In times of difficulty, in times of trauma, I am with you. And so it's right and fitting that we give praise to Jesus because He's given us this new birth. Not because we deserve it or we've earned it, but because, Peter says, of His great mercy, Because God is full of mercy and kindness and goodness and gracious towards us. That is why we have a new birth. It's of His doing. And it's ours through faith. Through faith, this is ours. How do we know we have a new birth? How do we know it's real? Well, when we start to have a desire in our hearts to follow Jesus, to pursue Him, to live a life for Him, to be obedient to His invitation, to become like Him. Those are the signs and marks of this new life dwelling within us, which is a process, and it goes on and on and on as we grow more and more. We have a desire no longer to conform to the pattern of this world, but instead to be transformed into the beauty and glory of Jesus. There is no greater call or invitation to us. This is what the new life looks like. And He says, at times it's tough, but I'm with you, and I'm forever working in you. Jesus comes and meets us in our brokenness, with all our stuff, and in all of the situation, He works for the good. For the good and for His glory. His overwhelming love. And this was the conversation that took place between Nicodemus and Jesus, when Nicodemus comes to Him at night searching. And Jesus paints the picture. He says, this is what it's like. It's something new that starts within you, in your heart, through faith. And it goes on and it continues. Secondly, Peter says this, that we have a living hope. We've been born into a living hope. Our new birth makes it alive. And we constantly have this hope with us. You know, once we were dead, now we're alive. Once we were spiritually dead to God, now we're connected to Him through this new birth. And the New Testament meaning of hope, let's remind ourselves of that. It's not something that's uncertain, but something that is certain. Something in the future, but something that's certain. We use that word hope in more in terms of wishful thinking. I hope that the weather's going to be nice. Well, that's a long shot. Or I hope that I'm going to have enough funds to meet rising costs. Or I hope that my health is going to hold out. These are all uncertain things. But when we talk in terms of a living hope that we have, this is something that is rock solid. It's something in the future, but something that is so certain. And so when we're facing times of trials and difficulties, this won't last. God's going to take us through. We have this hope. And it is constantly with us. Such a contrast to the earthly, worldly usage of hope. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." And so we've seen how God is the cause of this birth, and the means by which this birth comes is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the glorious reality that Jesus was raised from the dead. He's the prototype. He's the first fruit. And it's to Him that we look, and it's through His resurrection that we have, that's the means that we have, which leads to the goal, the living hope. What a glorious hope we have. What a glorious hope we have to share with those around us in a time of such uncertainty and increasing confusion and chaos. And it's rock solid. We can be absolutely certain of it. And so we are raised with Jesus into this wonderful hope, this certainty. And Peter is saying something here which, well, he's talking in terms of this physical resurrection of Jesus was the real deal. Some people assign it to being a myth. In the terms of they give a historical narrative is given, but that it's not actually the truth. It's conveying a truth. In this case, resurrection. But I don't believe that at all. Those disciples, they knew they'd seen the living Lord, Jesus Christ, alive, back from the dead. And some of the skeptics need to answer the questions, you know, why was the body never discovered? How do you explain the birth, the miracle of the birth of the church from such an unpromising beginning? Those timid, frightened disciples hiding away, fearing for their lives, suddenly transformed into such bold, courageous people that turned the world upside down. Such an unpromising beginning. And yet, they were convinced, they knew Jesus was alive. And through that, we have this living hope. And, but Jesus, do you remember, he said to Thomas, blessed are those. You believe, Thomas, because you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. So we have such a wonderful living hope that's alive. One young person wrote this when thinking about death. He said, I lie awake thinking about how dark the coffin will be. It makes no sense. Death is like a thought without a thinker. Death is like a black hole. Nothing, just nothing. It makes no sense. And I think that the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us a wonderful insight into what's to come. It's a transformed body. It's a spiritual body. It was a body that could do so much more. He appeared to the disciples who were hiding behind locked doors. He appeared before them. He could be touched. Here, Thomas, touch. Put your hand in my side. He ate. It's a superior body. But it is a body, and it's recognizable. But at times they didn't recognize him. But he was recognizable. And I believe that our inheritance, we're going to have the most wonderful, wonderful bodies. They'll be able to do so much more than what we can do in these earthly bodies, these earthly vessels, not tainted by sin. You know, we're told to ponder on these things, to imagine what that can be like. I believe we'll have incredible eyesight with our new bodies. I believe we'll be able to travel the speed of light. There'll be no more pain and sorrow, no more suffering. We will be different and yet recognizable, still fundamentally you and I. And what a thought, gathering with all the saints. I've got a few, I'm really looking forward to having a few conversations with Paul. Paul strikes me as an amazing individual. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to meeting those that have gone in our time, you know, connecting with them again. What a wonderful, awesome thought when we gather with all the saints around the throne, the glorious throne of God. And so we're told to look to these things when we're going through tough times, because God allows us to go through these times. Let's move on. Point three, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. God is our Father. He owns everything, and that's our inheritance. You know, we're co-heirs with Christ. But this is the interesting thing. He says that it's there, it's kept in heaven for us. It's in the future, but it's not subject to decay. It's not going to spoil. It's not going to diminish. It's kept in heaven, who through faith you're shielded by God's power. Just think of the millions of doctors and nurses that are making a living out of the fact that you and I are decaying. I'm looking forward to getting my hair back. No more decay. No more pain. No more crying. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Just a glorious future where time will be no more. And we will be with God and we will see him in all his glory and his beauty and his magnificent blazing light. Infiltrating everything. A glorious inheritance. A new earth, a new heaven. I think the colors too will be immense in heaven. We'll be just totally blown away. And it will be a continual journey of discovery. Going around one corner, wow, God, you are amazing. Going around another, ah. Continually in unbroken relationship with him. And Peter says this is kept in heaven. It's kept in heaven for you. It's yours. It's yours. And don't let the enemy take anything away. It is yours. It's in the future. It's certain. It's coming one day. And in the meantime, yeah, we've got some trials to go through. We have got some difficulties. And the trials can be hard. And the thing that comes at us is the temptation to dip into everything and anything but God. When the pressure comes and we're feeling the pain of the moment, we're tempted to escape. We're tempted to withdraw, maybe from the church community. It says in Hebrews, don't neglect that gift of coming together. As some have done, some have stopped the habit of coming together. Don't neglect, we need each other to build and strengthen one another. Like gold is refined in the difficulties and the trials, just as gold is purified and refined, so we are allowed to go through those trials. And our faith is being refined and strengthened and built up. But we need to remember that Jesus is with us throughout, always with us. He too was described as a man of sorrows. His life was difficult. He knew suffering. He knew pain. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured it because of the joy that was to come when he was to enter into glory. The joy of being together with the family of God in the future. He endured and went through the pain. At times he was tempted to, Lord God, if it's possible, take this away from me. Take it away. To the point that he was resisting temptation that he bled in Gethsemane. But no, not my will. Always your will, Lord. Your will be done. And so when the hard times come, that's the temptation. Lord, get me out of here. Take this away from me. But we can draw strength from God as we draw near to him. And he gives us all that we need. You know, later in this chapter, Peter talks about the devil prowling around like a lion. And then we read about how the lion is used to describe the lion of Judah to describe Jesus. But here Peter uses it in another way to describe how the lion prowls around, looking to pick off people. But what is he looking to eat? What is the lion looking to eat? He's looking to eat faith. He wants to take faith away. And in the trial, that's what he seeks to do. In the difficulty, in the midst of hardship and toughness, he's looking to eat your faith. Do you remember when Jesus talked about, to Peter rather, and Peter, you know, is saying, I'll never leave you, Lord, never. And he says, Simon, Simon, Luke 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Note that. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned back, he had a wobbler, he did a runner. When you've turned back, go and strengthen your brothers. Guys, I believe in this last couple of years, so much of the church has been battered and bruised. So many are out there hurting. So many of them can't even lift their faces up and cry out to God. I know of people whose faith has diminished so much in the last couple of years. We need to look out for them. We need to come alongside them. And we need to strengthen them through prayer. I really believe that this is the call of the Lord in this time, to go and strengthen our brothers and sisters who are really finding life tough. Satan wanted to push Peter through the sieve and pull out faith from him. Pull his faith from him. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you. And when you've gone through all that stuff, when you've come back, go and strengthen your brothers and sisters. And so it's in the times of difficulty, in the times of toughness and hardship, our faith is put to the test. But Peter says, we have this truth, this reality, this certainty kept. Note the word kept in heaven for us. Jesus is ever interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And we can be certain that he will pull us through as we continue to fix our eyes upon him, the author and perfecter of our faith. And let us think about the joy through the pain and through the difficulty. Think ahead of the joy that is set before us. And resist the temptation to withdraw from God, to withdraw from the family. And let's allow him to strengthen us by the power of the Spirit as we come before him and draw comfort from him and not the things of the world. God allows us to go through these things in order to strengthen our faith. Why? Peter tells us that it might be proved genuine. He doesn't keep us in the comfort zone. He allows us to go through the tough times. Verse 7, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And the praise, I think, is for us. When you've come through, and when you walk into your inheritance and hear the words of Jesus, well done, my good and faithful servant. What joy to hear those words. What joy. So the answer to our question, can I be sure of heaven, this future? The answer is emphatically yes, yes, yes. As we put our faith in him and as we believe in him, and what does it mean to believe in him? It means to put our trust in him and his word to us. That's what it means to believe, to trust him. That journey of increasing and growing in our trust and our faith. Not relying upon ourselves, but leaning and relying wholeheartedly upon him. That's what it means to take up your cross. Put your trust fully in him, because he is more solid and trustworthy than the ground we stand on. And he will never, ever forsake us or let us down. And boy, has he got a wonderful future for us. Can I be sure? Yes. Yes, yes. We can walk with that certainty and that assurance as we put our trust in him. Amen. To God be the glory. Okay, we're going to pray, and I'm going to invite Sarah and Misha to come and join me, and we're going to have a time of ministry. Did I get that right? Oh, Mwazi. Sorry, Mwazi. Sorry. Let's pray. So, Lord God, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word to us. And we thank you for your amazing divine love. And Lord God, the joy that comes from knowing you and from knowing your promises to us. Lord, we are so grateful. We're so grateful. And we ask this morning that by your Spirit, and for those watching online, by your Spirit, you would strengthen our inner being. That you would sustain us and uphold us. And may the glory of Jesus Christ fill our hearts. Thank you, Lord. If you'd like to stand, and we'll just let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh. Touch our hearts. Let your power fall upon us this morning. Come. Come. I have a sense this morning that God wants to impart something of that future age here and now. He wants to impart some of that to you this morning, and indeed to those who are watching online. So you just open your hearts to Him. Receive from Him. Come. Let your power fall on us, Lord. And I sense that there's maybe one or two of you here this morning that you are feeling a bit downtrodden. The faith tank feels a bit empty. For some, you may have lost that sense of joy. And God just wants to meet with you this morning. And maybe if that is you, I'd love to pray with you this morning. Just lay hands on you and ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Let your power come, Lord. For some, there's just an absence of peace. It's like you've got a gnawing away within your heart, and there's an absence. God wants to impart His peace to you this morning.
Yeah, and I had a sense that when Jonathan was saying, God is saying that I am with you, that there was some that just really needed to hear that this morning. Hear these words, that I am with you.